Kelly Francis, has a dream that every New Zealander has access to a garden of fresh, healthy food to eat and to share. She's making a vision of community-led food sovereignty a reality, and she has a charitable trust called Whenua Warrior, which has built hundreds of raised gardens, including over 600 in South Auckland. The charity provides not only the materials and the seedlings, but also the knowledge to support people to successfully grow kai. She's a finalist, Kelly Francis, in the New Zealand Gardeners 2022 Gardener of the Year competition. That's going to be announced next month. And she's with me now. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Lovely to meet you, Kim.
Lovely to meet you. Isn't it interesting that Garden of the Year used to be, you know, how big your petunias were. And yeah. Now, you know, it's about how useful and also heartening, but useful. It's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And I think the major reason for that change is because of our needs as people of the land changing as well, and the necessity for some food security at home.
How did you start this?
Funnily enough, I actually had a bit of a epiphany, as you do with big major changes in your life, and decided that I wanted to try and get our people to respect Papatūānuku, Mother Earth.
Were you made? You were made redundant, were you?
I was, yes. I was made redundant and took the ring off from my ex-fiancé and,
big
a few
change.
Major things. Yeah.
What were you doing before you were made redundant, Kelly?
I was in corporate tourism, so I sold a lot of corporate travel packages across the world, including, you know, flights through to camper vans, through to activities that you can do, and loved it and thought that was my level of happiness that I could stay at. And then I started realising that there was something major missing in my life. And
after you were made redundant?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You didn't, you know, realise it when you were in the job?
No, not at all. I thought I was happy then.
Interesting. Luck comes in various disguises then, doesn't it?
It does, it does.
And so you realised that you wanted to do something maybe that you didn't need to get dressed up for?
Yeah, yeah. And maybe something more connected to the land and people being the priorities rather than making a lot of money for a lot of other people, I think, was another big realisation.
Where were you based in your job?
We were in Auckland CBD, and I floated through a different set of travel agencies and wholesale agencies and loved what I did. Went into tourism when I was about 17. Worked for a number of different people, and majority of them were New Zealand-based entrepreneurs as well. So I got the privilege of being under their wing, and they taught me quite a few things, which has actually helped me out quite a lot in Whenua Warrior and being able to build this into something that is sustainable.
How come your engagement ended at the same time?
It was at a point where I think I started realising where my lack of connections were. For me at the time, it was my cultural connection to Te Ao Māori, also my connection to people in general and to land. But I wanted to go and do yoga retreats and meditate and, you know, spend entire weeks in yogi and find myself, and my ex-partner, he wanted to do 6-course degustation meals with matching wines. We kind of went two very different ways, and he enjoyed it, and he's happily, you know, carried on with his fancy food and fancy wine, and I've happily carried on into gumboots and mud.
So your aspirations or your measures of success completely changed?
They did, yes. So we were quite happily well off as a partnership, and, you know, had all the things that we were taught we needed to be happy, and then the happiness never turned up. So I kind of thought, hang on, there's something wrong here. I've done the dash, I've done my studying, I've got the education and the experience, and I've climbed the corporate ladder, and I'm in a very happy place financially. And then Sunday would roll around and I'd think to myself, hey, I don't have enough energy to get through another week of this. And it became a bit of a worry. And so I did a year of landscaping out in Kumeu, which was closer to what I was passionate about, but not quite there because we were still using diggers to pull out trees and things from the land, and it just didn't quite feel right. So, yeah, on my second to last day, the words Whenua Warrior popped up in my mind, and I just brainstormed it, basically, and that was about 6 years ago.
Well, you just thought Whenua Warrior, that's what I want to be.
Mm, that's right. I'm like, hey, what is that? How do I do that every day?
When you quit your job or was made redundant, you did the yoga thing and you did the self-development thing, and it was that led you to food? What's the connection?
Cool, yeah. So the connection would be te ao Māori. So at the same time I changed jobs, I also moved out of my Albany-based apartment and moved into a caravan at the back of my friend's house in Manurewa. A few things started, you know, connecting up there, and I started my journey in te ao Māori and learning the language across the road at a primary school, literally starting from the kids' songs. And then it kind of flowed on from there. I did some Māori governance work with Ka Kia Pautama, learned about trusts and, you know, roles and responsibilities inside governance and what I can do to create my own trust. Then straight after that, I went into Kai Oranga, which is a Māori-based food wellbeing course. And it teaches about the Huaparakore principles, which are the principles of the only indigenous food verification system in the entire world. And Māori put it together in Te Waka Kaiora in Pōneke and Wellington.
And what does it signify? How does it work?
So really what it does is it gets you to focus more on the quality of the food, connecting your energy to the land, and understanding that the food that's created is far more important than going up to Pack and Save and paying for your silver bead over there. It also allowed me to understand that the earth needs to be supported and protected more than, you know, our ability to get to our office and print things out and live like an office life. It taught me that there's things far more important than, making money and that.
Do you think that growing your own food is a way back to a cultural understanding that a lot of urban Māori, and you're not only dealing with Māori, of course, but a lot of urban Māori have lost?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I feel like it's my responsibility to remind people that the solutions that our ancestors had are the solutions that served us the best. So if we reflect back on, say, the 1800s, we'll see that people focused all of their time, their energy, all their whānau were always around them, and it was regarding the food access. You know, instead of our days requiring us to be in five different places within 24 hours, we were able to sit and stay in the garden and grow food together and be around our kids and our elderly. And it was it's the type of space that I would like to create for people nowadays as well, because it is a solution.
Good luck with that, Kelly, because, you know, a lot of people have the three jobs to go out and work at.
Yeah, they do. And I'm begging them to quit them and get a garden in.
Do you think that that's affordable?
I think that if you were to concentrate your energy fully onto a garden and a space where you can all be together, then it's affordable mentally, it's affordable spiritually, and it's a space where you can thrive. I think people need to come away from the idea of needing to have money to continue their lifestyles, and it's something that we have at the moment because we use the resources that are available to us. So we sell our time, we get money, we buy food. But imagine if we were to skip all of that and just go straight from waking up to creating our own food sources and spending that time with our families instead of parting from them every day.
All right. So how are you doing this?
Very, 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 very carefully. We have spent the last 6 years creating relationships in the community, as well as different networks that allow us to be in spaces like this with you now, Kim. But those relationships are far more valuable to me than a pay packet, because when it comes down to it, people and land are the two things that should be partners, not people and money. We have a saying, he aha te mea nui o te ao, he tangata, he tangata, he tangata, which means what is the most important thing in the world? Our people, our people, our people. And when we look at something like that, it is that easy to change the priorities to our whānau, to our community, to the people that are around us. And I feel like those relationships are what keep me going and what keeps Whenua Warrior going. That constant need for inspiration that comes through the aroha from the people.
So when you started out, you focused on South Auckland, I think?
I actually had a bit of a hope to start in the north, because that's actually where I'm from. I'm from Upanuni in the South Hokianga, the centre of the universe, just saying. And we had about four gardens that I did up in Kaitaia, firstly. And that was just in the back of my Suzuki Swift with a spade. And I don't even think I'd socks or gumboots then, but I kind of just rolled up and said, Auntie, do you want a garden? And then she'd let me play in a garden. And then by the end of it, she had food. So I realised pretty quickly that this is what I wanted to do. And the initial idea was actually to travel around New Zealand and just pop into places and build up food sources for people. We found that it got a little bit difficult because of the travel costs and things. And obviously our kaupapa is to give these gardens away for free for the people receiving them. So I wanted to hone in on the people that I had around me, so started with whānau in Auckland, and then went to friends, then friends of whānau and whānau friends, and it was beautiful. It was a nice way to begin. At the time, we were taking about a week to do one garden box in the back of homes. Now we're doing four garden boxes per day, per team, and we have two teams running 5 days a week.
So. Who's paying for this?
Our lovely supporters at Foundation North are our major funders, so some philanthropy funding there. But I would really like to engage some relationships in the government sector as well, because I think that my priorities match very highly with the people who are making decisions on our food policies. And I believe that they are looking for me. So here I am.
What would you tell them?
I would tell them that it's our responsibility to look after our people, and that the way that we need to do that is by supporting community groups who understand the need of the community to be able to build food systems that are sustainable and in a way that doesn't ask people to change too much of their schedule. Being able to build it in somebody's backyard means that they are fully responsible for it and able to maintain it without any excuse. Community gardens are another next step. But the reality is that our government has decisions to make around policies that don't suit our people. And for them to stop being wrong, it'd be good to engage people who are in the community who can actually help our people.
And which policies are you talking about?
Well, the one that comes to mind straight away is the CTPPA. But there are a few that kind of limit the quality of food leaving and being able to be purchased in retail spaces. That's what leaks out into our food rescue space, which means that we're receiving tons and tons of fruit and veggies that don't look like cartoon apples. We don't need cartoon looking apples to buy them. We don't need the expectation of our fruits and vegetables to be so high. We just need to be able to access them at a reasonable rate. And if we were to stop having such high quality issues, that would allow us to access that food more regularly, and it also means that the farmer will be able to sell more as well.
Coming back to the gardens, what's your experience of people maintaining them once you've installed them?
Oh my goodness, this is a great question. So we have been running for 5 years, and in that 5 years we've done just over 1200 gardens from Kaitaia down to Christchurch. Last year we did a major project in South Auckland where we were funded for 300 gardens, and then in our first 2 weeks we got 480 registrations. So what it allows us to do is see that what the community needs is something that we can provide. What we can provide is something the community needs. But it kind of indicates as well that the experience we've had inside our community allows us to provide a solution that suits them. And it helps us to ensure that what we're offering is completely possible. What we learnt last year, though, is that the best option going forward is to ensure that 4 months after the installation, we offer a seedling replant, a seasonal replant, because most of our gardens last year were done in spring and summer. So going in 4 months after will allow us to build up the knowledge based around our winter crops as well, because in New Zealand we're very lucky to be able to grow food all year round, which kind of doesn't speak to our food poverty at the moment, but it does speak to our ability to be able to maintain our food systems in the home. What we've also seen is families start off with the one box and then they build extra after we've left. They take photos and keep us involved in the story. We've heard people have grown the food specifically in the backyard of their home for their neighbours because their neighbours are now in apartments and have no chance of getting a garden box. We've heard people taking the food to church, to school, doing preserves, giving those preserves out to their whānau. It's just been such an amazing experience to see and trust our community and to understand that, you know, giving this one kick or one kickstart, I should say, not an actual kick, giving them that opportunity allows them to think wider about what they can do to be able to increase their food systems and take away that inequality of pricing and everything that's affecting our food systems at the moment.
I mean, you know now that it's not hard to start up a wee garden. Mm. What do you think the obstacle is for a lot of people?
I think we beat ourselves up too much. Like, if we look at the professional woman, right, as a whole, and I say this because I've been a professional woman without a garden, we will see women who are running their lives, they're in work, they've got targets to meet, goals to meet, they've got kids at home, they've got soccer practice and all of these massive, huge pressures that we need to semi-be perfect at. We tell ourselves, oh, no, I've got to get there on time and I've got to finish this report and, oh, I finished an hour ago, but let's get this email done. And we create this perfect bubble around ourselves, which is actually false. So when we go to put the garden into a professional woman's home, she assumes that that also has to be perfect. So she doesn't do it. It creates a fear in her that she has never touched soil before. She doesn't know what to do. Oh, everything I touch dies. I've heard that about a billion times in the last 6 years. But I think it's just, when we go in with our garden box, it's a starter. It tells them that you can do it. And if you're raising children, you're able to raise plants, absolutely. And it gives them the little bit of confidence that they need. And then, you know, 5-6 weeks later, they send me photos of the things they did themselves. And it just proves constantly that we are providing something our community wants.
Ngā mihi. Mm. Kelly Francis, good luck. She's the finalist. Air New Zealand Gardeners 2022 Garden of the Year competition. And you can see more of her on our webpage.